Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We are in the middle of an amazing series on the cosmic conflict, the great battle between good and evil, started in heaven, impacting planet Earth down through the centuries, and how it will conclude with the glorious climax of the return of Jesus. Jesus wins. That's the end of the great conflict. If you've missed any in this series, friend, go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. You can watch the entire series. You can go to our YouTube channel, Hope Sabbath School YouTube channel. Join 100,000 other people getting access to the Word of God. This may be the most important Bible study series. And we're just so glad you're with us today as we continue to study an important topic, the two witnesses. You say, who are they? Well, stay tuned. You'll find out. Welcome to our team. Good to be together. Are you learning some things in this series? And so we've heard some powerful testimonies as well. We've got some remote team members with us. Haiti, great to have you back. Always good to have you with us. Zaria, good to have you with us again. And Travis, good to have you with us. You know, people write to me, they say, we love the remotes that come in because we can bring people that maybe couldn't be right here in the studio. And every once in a while, like Rodney, who's one of our faithful remotes, they actually make the big trip and they come into the studio, and it's great to see them too. It's also wonderful to hear from you, our Hope Sabbath School members around the world. We're just really thankful for each one of you. And when you write to us, it brings great joy to our hearts. And we share these emails so that you can be encouraged too. So Lorelei, thanks for writing to us from the beautiful island of Trinidad. I guess Trinidad and Tobago together. Greetings to my lovely Hope Sabbath School team.
Greetings.
Thank you for allowing me to join. You see, she's not a passive observer, is she? She's joining the in-depth interactive study. The studies she writes are so fruitful. May God continue to favor your platform daily. Waiting to study with you all again. Well, Lorelei, we hope you're here today as we're studying an important topic from the scriptures, the two witnesses. Here's a note. I had to look up Munya Radzi from the University of Cape Town. I thought, I wonder what Munya Radzi means. And it means comforter in the Shona language.
Wow.
What a great name to name someone.
Yeah.
Comforter. And Munya, shortened, Munya writes and says, this email has been long overdue. I found my way to Hope Sabbath School during the hard lockdown period in 2020. It quickly became my Sabbath worship at home. I appreciated, and still do, the diverse perspectives from team members and their willingness to testify about God's working in their lives.
Amen.
Now the pandemic is over, I still try to make time to check out Hope Sabbath School and share with people when opportunities avail themselves. We thank God for your ministry, Munya writes. May he continue to add his blessing to each of your lives. What a beautiful note. Thank you, Munya Radzi, comforter from South Africa. Here's a handwritten note, and this is from a donor in New York. Now, sometimes people around the world, when you say New York, they assume it's New York City. But it may not be. It may be another city in New York State. But the donor writes and says, blessings to everyone participating on Hope Channel. It's been a blessing to me to attend Hope Sabbath School and get each person's ideas and experiences. And then the person quotes, the signs that show his coming near are fast fulfilling year by year. Let's continue to pray for each other, the donor writes. Be faithful until Jesus comes to take us home. And we say,
Amen.
And the person, the donor, sent a gift of $200 to bless the global ministry. And you know we're donor supported. So you're part of the ministry. You know if you wrote this note. But to each one of you, I want to say thank you. because you're part of the great miracle. You can go to hopetv.org/hopess, click on the donate button, and we say hallelujah. Thank you for your support. Well, one last note from Gloria. Gloria on our YouTube channel. You know, we passed 100,000 subscribers on our YouTube channel. And I was talking to a colleague. He said, the next place is 1,000,000. Okay. Yeah. I said, hallelujah. Yeah. Gloria writes on our YouTube channel, she says, praise our Heavenly Father for encouraging us through His Word.
Amen. Amen.
We're truly blessed daily, and it's a joy to trust in God's precious promises through His Word.
Amen. Amen.
Gloria concludes, and I love the scripture songs and look forward to singing along with the team. Well, we're going to ask you to do that here in just a moment. I think I missed one, didn't I? I think I got everybody. Well, I just want to say, Gloria, we need you to sing with us right after I tell you about that valuable resource we're offering in this series on the cosmic conflict. It's the book, The Great Controversy. God's used it to impact many lives. What I'm excited about, because we talked about the Bible being in the language you can understand, but even valuable study resources, if they're in a language you don't understand. But this book is available in more than 100 languages. All you need to do is go to our website, hopetv.org/hopess, click on the free resource tab, and you can choose the language that's best for you, or you say, I have a friend. And she speaks, you give me the language, Finnish, or she speaks Norwegian, and I'd like to provide it in a language for her, for him. You can choose the language there. It's a book that will be a blessing. It's a free resource to you. Just go to our website. But right now, Gloria, you said you like the songs. We need you to sing with us our theme song, Isaiah chapter 55, 6 and 7. It's one that's precious to my heart. And I pray to you, seek the Lord while He may be found. Let's sing together.
Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. He will abundantly pardon. The Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near.
You know, I'm here and I'm hearing you sing, and I know we never thought we'd sing on television all around the world, because most of us aren't vocalists. A few of you have beautiful voices. I won't name which ones. But it's great to see our remote singing too. They're in different parts of the country joining us. And it's great to have you, Gloria, and the rest of our Hope Sabbath School family singing to seek the Lord while He may be found. This cosmic conflict's almost over, and it's time to seek the Lord. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, as we study about the two witnesses today, I pray that light would dawn, that we would understand not only who the two witnesses are, but what the message is that they bring. Mm-hmm. And I pray that you would guide us even as we testify. May hearts be blessed because of your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, we're going to Revelation chapter 11, beginning with verse 3. Revelation chapter 11. John, I'm going to ask you to start our study today. I have to tell you, I had to really study this. There's not everything in Scripture that's easy to understand, and I'm still learning too. And we learned in a previous study that the Bible is accessible, though. Mm-hmm. That's why the Reformers said we need it in the language people can understand, but we also need the help of
the Holy Spirit.
Jesus said, will guide us into all truth. So we pray, Holy Spirit, to guide us. John, as you read Revelation chapter 11, verses 3 to 6.
Revelation chapter 11, verses 3 to 6 in the English Standard Version reads, "And I will grant authority to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. And if anyone would harm them, fire pours from their mouth and consumes their foes. If anyone would harm them, this is how he is doomed to be killed. They have the power to shut the sky, that no rain may fall during the days of their prophesying. And they have power over the waters to turn them into blood and to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they desire."
So here's some symbolism, but what, without even trying to identify who the two witnesses are, what can we learn about the two witnesses from this passage? What are some things the Scriptures tell us? We're praying as we're reading. Yes, Sabina.
It says here in verse 3 that they will be given power. So there's power in those witnesses.
Okay, they're given power. Another key word comes right after power, and in fact, before it too, about these witnesses. Jeffrey?
Prophesy.
They're going to prophesy. Are there false prophets and true prophets? There certainly are. Jesus said, some will say, we prophesied in your name. John, that's in Matthew 7, isn't it? And right. Jesus says,
I never knew you.
Okay? But these are not false prophets. How do I know that? Back to the text. Yes, Nancy?
It says, I will give power.
And power. I will give power to?
To my two witnesses.
To what?
My witnesses.
Okay, so they have power. They prophesy. The Lord gives them power, and they're His witnesses. Are we here so far, Pedro?
I see there's a curse against those who comes against those two witnesses here.
So the Lord, they're not only His witnesses, but He will guard them. And we're going to discover some bad things can happen to the two witnesses, but the Lord says, I'll be with them. My blessing is over them, and those who oppose them will fall. Right? Well, you say, well, I don't know. I still don't know who they are. Jason?
Well, as I glanced at verse 6, it kind of brings references to two prophets that we know about.
Yes, it
Elijah
does.
Elijah and Moses.
Yes, it does. It's clearly related to the Bible.
Correct.
And in fact, if you can hold that thought for just a moment, some people will name them based on what you read in verse 6, but we'll come to that in just a moment. Let's go to another passage because it speaks about they are also called two olive trees and two lampstands. Let's go back to Zechariah the prophet. Gladys, do you have Zechariah?
Yes, sir.
Chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, speaks here about two olive trees, which is referenced in the passage in Revelation 11. Yes. We're in Zechariah 4, beginning with verse 1.
I'm reading from the New International Version, Zechariah chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Then the angel who talked with me returned and woke me up like someone awaking from sleep. He asked me, "What do you see?" I answered, "I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl at the top and seven lamps on it, with seven channels to the lamps. Also, there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left. I asked the angel who talked with me, 'What are these, my Lord?' He answered, 'Do you not know what these are?' 'No, my Lord,' I replied. So he said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty.'"
So there's a new, we got two witnesses. When you think witness, you think prophesy, right?
Yes.
Jeffrey? Prophesy. When you think lampstand, you think
light.
Mm-hmm. When you think olive trees,
maybe olive oil.
You think of oil. When you heard about these lamps in Zechariah, did it remind you of anything else in Scripture?
The sanctuary.
The sanctuary, right? Yeah. The seven-branch lampstand. And from our study of the sanctuary, that lamp burns with oil. Olive oil. Say, okay, there's some connection. And what does that light represent? Well, that's a complicated question. We know what the oil represents,
the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. What about the light? Mm-hmm. Yes, Buya.
Well, Jesus himself said, I am the light, mm-hmm. the light of the world. Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, by the way, said, I thought the Bible is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And Jesus said, these are they that testify
of me.
Yep. So we learn about the light of the world by coming to the light of God's word. There may be a clue there regarding these two witnesses. Mm-hmm. Let's look at one other passage in Psalm 119. We actually read this in a previous study. And Haiti, if you could take us to Psalm 119. Maybe someone's joining us for this study that missed a previous one. We discovered Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Including hiding it in our heart. And including it being a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Mm-hmm. But Haiti, could you read the first five verses of this ancient scripture song?
Absolutely. And I will be reading from the New King James Version. It says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes.
And could you, while you're still there, Haiti, read verse 130? 130. It's the longest psalm in the book of Psalms.
Yes.
This is really important.
Mm-hmm. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Mm.
Amen. The importance of the word, the entrance of your word brings what?
Light.
Light. Mm-hmm. It brings
understanding
to the simple. Mm. That's I'm like, thank you, God.
Amen.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
But the word brings light. Well, just thinking about that, we now ask the question, who are these two witnesses? Mm-hmm. And there are several interpretations that have been given. Some people mentioned, we've got the bringing fire down and turning blood. Maybe they are Elijah and Moses.
Right.
Maybe they're the two witnesses. Other people say, no, Elijah and Enoch. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're the two witnesses. Mm-hmm. Some people say, no, they're two leaders who will come in the future. Real people. Some say they're going to come from the leadership of our church. Mm-hmm. Mm. Not the church that you belong to, but a group would say, from our group, these two witnesses will arise. Mm-hmm. So the question is, are these real individuals or are they a voice? I want to propose to you today that those two witnesses that testify of me, what did Jesus say? These are they that testify
of me.
Of me. These are they that testify of me. Derek, I wanted to just mention that we have a time prophecy attached 1260 years. So Elijah didn't live for 1260 years. I mean, so this isn't just attached to some human being. And I would like to say, actually, the word of God has always been. I believe this is the word of God. And it just didn't exist for 1260 years. It existed before, and it still existed today. But when in Revelation chapter 11, it's talking about something that happened to the Word of God over that period of time, because the Word of God has always been and always will be.
Amen. So those two witnesses, we might consider then what we call the Old Testament or the Hebrew Scriptures, mm-hmm. and the New Testament. And we're going to look, thank you, Travis, for reminding us, we're going to go back to that time prophecy when these witnesses are dressed in sackcloth. What did that mean? And then that they're actually going to be killed, and then they're going to be raised to life again. That it's not talking about individuals, but it's talking about the Word of God. John?
You know, the verse in John chapter 5 and verse 39, in the English Standard Version.
Would you like to read it?
Sure.
Okay, I think I kind of paraphrased it, didn't I? But yes. Let's go there. John chapter 5 and verse 39.
Mm-hmm. John chapter 5, verse 39 in the English Standard Version reads, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me."
Ah, so you have the word witness. My Bible, I think, said testify. But so you're right there. They bear witness. So these witnesses, we're going to go on now to the time frame, because apparently during 1260 prophetic days, they're dressed in sackcloth. What's that all about? Puya?
Before I answer that, I just wanted to comment on the idea that these two witnesses could be the Old Testament and the New Testament, and it makes sense because they do testify about the person that the Scripture wants to bring us to, that is Jesus himself. In a sense, from Genesis to Malachi, the Hebrew Scriptures pointed forward to a Savior or a Messiah who is coming. And if we look at the New Testament from Matthew to Revelation, it's the account of the Messiah who came. So,
and who's coming back again?
Who's coming
glory,
back
right?
again?
Right.
it makes sense that both the Old Testament and the New Testament witness for that person, where Jesus said, "I am the one that the Scripture is talking about."
You know, I I'm going to ask Zaria to read for us a passage in Luke chapter 24. Some people, and your point is well taken, Puya, say, "Well, you know, I follow the New Testament. I'm a New Testament Christian. I don't follow the Old Testament or the Hebrew Scriptures." Yeah. But John, you just read that Jesus said, "Those testify of me," right? So they are also a valuable witness. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask Zaria to read for us from Luke 24, verses 25 to 27, which, you know, when Jesus was sharing about Scripture, the only Scripture he had available was the Hebrew Scriptures, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
As Puya pointed out, the New Testament Scriptures are written as a testimony about Jesus and the early church, right? Mm-hmm. Zaria, read for us, if you would, from Luke 24, verses 25 to 27.
Yes, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version, verse 25 through 27. "Then he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?' And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning themselves."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Moses, Pentateuch, mm-hmm. all the prophets. Mm-hmm. Later, he meets in the upper room and it says, and the Psalms. In other words, he covered everything in the sacred Scriptures they had at that time. Mm-hmm. And he showed that they were a witness about him. Now, there's one other text. And Pedro, if you could turn to 2 Timothy for us, because I think this now is a testimony in the New Testament. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. Actually writing to Timothy, who's been taught the Scriptures from childhood. But I want you to notice how it begins there in verse 16 and 17 of 2 Timothy.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work."
How much scripture is given by inspiration of God?
All.
And Peter says, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's go now. Travis, you alluded to a time period. And Nancy, if you could read again, we read it, but let's read it again in Revelation 11 and verse 3. What is the time period that is referred to? Revelation 11 and verse 3.
I'm reading from the New King James Version, and it reads, "And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth." Mm.
1,260 days. Mm-hmm. How long is that? Well, if it's literal days, it's about what? 3 years or so? A little over 3 years. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But if it's speaking about prophetic time, let's look at another passage, Puya, in Revelation 12, verses 5 and 6.
Mm-hmm. Revelation 12, verses 5 and 6, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. "She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days."
And then one more, if you could stay in that passage for us and go to verses 14 and 15 of Revelation 12. Mm.
Verses 14 and 15 reads, "But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time, times, and half a time, from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood."
So what is this describing, this period of time? When does it happen? Maybe we need to go back to Daniel chapter 7, mm-hmm, and verse 25. Travis, could you read that for us? Daniel helps us to understand the prophecy in Revelation. Daniel 7 and verse 25. This is not just a few years. This is a fairly lengthy period of time that the church is being harassed and persecuted. And by the way, whoever's persecuting, behind that persecution is
Satan.
Yeah, this cosmic conflict, right? Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Trying to destroy the Christ child as soon as he's born, making war against the saints of the Most High. Travis, how does Daniel 7:25 read?
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. "He shall speak pompous words against the Most High. He shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time." Mm.
The time, times, and half a time, and the 42 months and the 1,260 days are the same. Mm-hmm. Right. It's 1,260 years of time. During that time of papal domination, which began in the year 538, when civil power was given to the Bishop of Rome, as well as religious authority, which you already claimed. Mm-hmm. And that goes to 1798. Mm-hmm. What happened in 1798? In fact, in that time period, because it's during that time period the witnesses will also be killed. Mm. What happened in 1798, Puya?
Around that time was the French Revolution. Mm-hmm. Under the leadership of Napoleon, he sent his general to go to Rome and take over the leadership at Rome, including the church and the state. And so with that, the power of the papal authority was taken away. So with that, you could see the prophecy being fulfilled about 1,260 years during that time where the Dark Ages was happening.
Now, the Bible was still available during that time, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. 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 In fact, the Reformation was already underway. Mm-hmm. What does it mean that during that time they were testifying in sackcloth? Mm. Anybody? Mm. What do you think? Nancy?
Well, it wasn't easy For example, I think of the Waldenses and how they would share scripture by sewing it into their clothing, and they would share scriptures that brought light to those who were in darkness because the church had kept the scriptures locked away and untranslated, unavailable, and so it had just started to become translated at that time.
So you're saying while the scriptures were in existence, they weren't readily available, and maybe they weren't valued.
Right.
What's implied by wearing sackcloth?
What I see here is there's a mourning process because it's not easily accessed to people. There was a perspective of the clergy has the knowledge of the word, and if you need to have access to the word, you need to come to a man, not to God.
Even to ask for sins to be forgiven.
Yes.
Whereas the scripture said we can pray our Father in heaven, right? Forgive us our sins or our trespasses.
We see here the aspect of the clothing. Jesus gives us our righteousness. Jesus is their intercessor, and now we have here the intercession of Christ being given by a man and taking away from people the righteousness of Christ.
So you would describe, Pedro, that it really is kind of a time of grieving or mourning.
Yes.
Sadness. Yeah. Yeah. Because while the Bible is available, it's really restricted. It's really hindered. Okay? Gladys?
Well, in the Bible times, you know, when anybody had a loss or a lot of pain and suffering, like you were saying, mourning, they wore sackcloth. So during this time, there was so much suffering for the word of God. Like Nancy was mentioning about the Waldenses, many people were killed. So there was a lot of pain and suffering, but it's still the word was being preached.
There was a remnant.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Of faithful people who chose to seek the word of God and to receive the light of the word of God. We want to go back now to Revelation 11, verses 7 through 9. Revelation 11, verses 7 through 9. Sabina, if you could read that for us.
Yes.
As we're trying to understand these two witnesses who, at least for a lengthy period, seem really grieving or sad. What happens next?
So I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it says, "When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves."
Well, could you read on and just read verse 10 also for us?
And it says, "And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth."
Apparently, people who didn't want to hear the truth of the witnesses rejoice because the witnesses are put to death. When did that happen? What season is that talking about? Who mentioned to me about the French Revolution? And was that you, Puya, Jason?
Yeah, so I was doing some research, and it shows that in 1793, the French National Assembly passed a decree in which the worship of the one true God was abolished.
Puya?
I also want to add that it's interesting when we look at history, one of the reasons why the people, many people in Europe and especially in France, rejected the scripture was because the church at that time abused its power in the name of God and in the name of the scripture. And so people, from the perspective of a lot of people, when they saw the scripture, it was a tool of control and manipulation. So it's kind of like the saying, you throw the baby out with the, was it the
bath water.
Like you just reject the scripture with religion itself.
And so in the French Revolution, the scriptures were rejected. The bold declaration that there is no God. And people rejoiced in that freedom because they had not seen a clear picture mm-hmm. of the character of God
right.
because the scriptures were not available to them. Sabina?
And you want to look at the philosophical precepts that were backing up the French Revolution because just as Puya was saying, those leaders, they were also now, instead of basing decisions on scripture, willing to seek God, they had turned away from it because of the abuse that had been done, and they were now looking into reason. Mm-hmm. So they start building up a philosophy that we now call it Illuminism, it was later on called Illuminism, where individuals, they would be looking for truth in science, in reason, in human philosophy, as opposed to looking to the Word of God. Mm. And that has, you know, reverberated up to nowadays. I think we are still having echoes of that. Even if people have different philosophies, they still have a deep belief seated in their hearts that there might be something wrong with trusting in God, and that we need to be looking to material things that you can prove and test with our eyes instead of faith. Mm-hmm.
And so there are still people mm-hmm. trying mm-hmm. to kill the two witnesses today.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But the good news, and I'll take your point, Pedro, the good news is verse 11. Mm-hmm. But Pedro, give us your comment, and then I'm going to ask Jason to read verse 11 of Revelation 11.
Thank you. Now we see here that, you know, the light of God can bring blessings to the world, but when it's rejected or oppressed or removed from people, secular mindset comes in place. We see the two cities here, Sodom and Egypt, very secular mindset. And because those things the word of God is being misused by the church, the people are now seeking for different ways of life, which cause secularism. And now God is trying to revive this witness into the beauty of His love through His Word.
And maybe we should be very patient with people who drift into secularism or hedonism, which is just living for pleasure, because they've seen a distorted picture of the character of God. And the Word has been misused.
Right.
But there's some good news, Jason.
Amen.
Read for us in Revelation 11 and verse 11.
All right, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And the Bible says, "Now after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them."
So a short period of time, a few years, prophetically, where it seems like God's dead. And, of course, that's happened even during the time of communism, where they said the Bible is dead. The last Christian will be extinct by such and such a year. Right. Mm-hmm. People have tried to do that, too. But these witnesses that appear to have been killed or put to death by those people, they stand up again. Mm-hmm. What is that talking about? What happened in spite of this fierce rejection and opposition to the Word of God? Sabina? Mm-hmm.
So around this time in the 19th century, there was what we call nowadays a great awakening. So a number of people that when, you know, considering this philosophical precept that we were talking about, they realized that actually secularism and materialism was not really leading them anywhere. There was still a lot of unrest, even politically. So they start moving towards a new awakening of the Word of God in movements, missionary movements, and also new reformers. People that were continuing the Protestant Reformation, they started popping up and leading this movement, that it was very important.
Maybe the enemy was rejoicing and thinking, we won.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, pop, pop. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Certain societies popped up. They were Bible societies. Mm-hmm. Why was that important?
Mm-hmm. The light of God would be spread.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And the Word of God was now distributed. Puyi, you were sharing with me your people back in Mizoram. Mm-hmm. Were they animists, or what was the background?
My people, Mizo people, were animists prior to the missionary. The missionaries came to our land. That was in the late 1800s. Mm-hmm. When the missionaries came, the missionaries brought the idea of this beautiful picture of God who you don't have to worship out of fear, unlike the spirits that you have to appease. And one of the main, the early objectives of the missionaries were to create a writing system for the Mizo people.
So there was no writing system prior to that time?
We didn't have an actual alphabetical system. Mm. It was just oral tradition.
Okay.
And so the missionaries introduced a writing system, and the Bible was then translated into the Mizo language. Wow. Mm. Yeah. And so
he's smiling just in case you didn't know.
Within one generation, the Mizo people now had access to the Word of God. I mean, I grew up reading the Mizo Bible. I learned English, you know, later, but a lot of people still today are learning about God through the work of the resurrection of these two witnesses in that period.
Praise God.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
It's awesome. Yeah.
What impresses you about this time is called the Great Awakening, mm-hmm. the missionary movement. This is the time I was born in Bristol, England. You know, there was a great man of God named George Mueller, actually from Prussia, who came and started the orphanages. I always thought he started the orphanages to care for orphans. Mm. He said, no, that's not why. He cared for thousands of orphans through the years. Mm-hmm. He said, I started the orphanages so people would know that there's a God in heaven.
Amen. Mm.
And you know how God answered his prayers if you've mm-hmm. ever read about George Mueller. Mm. Amazing story. Mm-hmm. So all of these awakenings, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. this witness that God's not dead and the witnesses are not dead, mm. springing up. Mm-hmm. Have you read about these periods of time? I see some hands raised. What impacts you about this season? Mm-hmm. Travis, you know a little bit about this time of great awakening and Bible societies and mm-hmm. mission societies.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting, Derek, that this was also prophesied by the prophet Daniel concerning the prophecies of the Bible. It was revealed to him that many would run to and fro, and that knowledge of the scriptures and prophecy would increase. And Daniel asked when it would be, and he said, at the end of the time, times and half of times, as we've just discussed. So Daniel was shown that looking forward, there were going to be people running everywhere to and fro, and knowledge of the scriptures, knowledge of the two witnesses would be prophesying and revived again. And I mean, it was shortly into the 1800s when the Bible was literally translated in like 1500 different languages. And I mean, yeah, Bible societies. I mean, it just spread like wildfire through the world. And the Bible has now become available to more people than ever before in the history of the Word of God.
Mm. And isn't it interesting, and then Haiti, I see your hand, I'm going to come to you just a minute. Isn't it interesting, here we've got Puya, right, from the Mizoram people. Isn't it interesting that some of the people groups who learned about the light of God's word, learned about salvation through faith in Jesus alone, during that time, are now coming as missionaries to those secular hedonistic cultures that are bankrupt because they've rejected the Word of God. Missionaries are coming from those countries to remind us that we need light in the darkness. Yes, Haiti, I see your hand.
Yeah, I think it's amazing because you went through the 1260 years where there was the predominant religion was a false religion. And then you went through this short period of no religion. And then you went through this amazing period of true religion. And all these missionaries came out, as everyone's been mentioning. And if you study their lives, like Hudson Taylor, who went to China, and William Carey, who went to India, and Adoniram Judson, I think, who went to Burma, now Myanmar, where Punya's from. It's just incredible to me because they were willing to sacrifice. Right. Like I went on one mission trip in my life and it was a beautiful and incredible experience, but I would be lying if I didn't say that at one point I started to count down the days, like how much is left of this, because it was not the most comfortable situation, you know, the lodging, the food, not being able to speak the language, but these people went and said, from now on, I dress how you dress.
Right.
I eat what you eat. Mm. I live where you live. And I'm learning your language, and I'm going to do all things, kind of like Paul says, become all things to all people that I may might win some. And that sacrificial spirit of it, mm-hmm. it which is the spirit of Christ,
mm.
that came to life in that era. Beautiful. And that impresses
Beautiful.
Me.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you so Praise much God. For sharing. John.
You know, we're talking about the first Great Awakening, but also there is a second Great Awakening.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is that, you know, with the papacy, it was the Bible and tradition. And then came humanism and the Age of Reason, which Sabina talked about, where they looked to science and reason. But also, some Christians were influenced by that. And for them, it was the Word of God and reason.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Second Great Awakening, it was a revolution, because for them, it was the Word of God alone
mm-hmm.
That they based their belief in. And that was a great breakthrough in the history of this world, actually.
Mm. I like the expression, the radical Reformation.
Yeah.
That actually the Reformation continues
mm-hmm.
whenever we come with a prayerful heart to the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And I'm so thankful we wouldn't have Puya here today if the missionaries hadn't translated.
That's right. That's
right. Right. It was through the Word that your father,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. am I right, became a follower of Jesus?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. And I would add that, you know, just like the Samaritans who told the woman who met Jesus, mm-hmm. where they said, "We now believe not because of what you told us, because we have heard from himself."
Yes.
In the same way, mm-hmm. when the scripture is translated into the local languages of the people can now say, mm-hmm. "We now believe in God, not because of just what you told us, but because we can now read his word in our own language."
Right. Uh-huh.
Give me your testimony, Puya, since we're talking a little bit about Mizoram. You went back to your people, right?
Right.
2018.
And 2018 and also 2022.
Okay. And you shared that this is not a large people group, about 1.5 million.
That's right.
What was it like to go back and to share, to be part of the two witnesses' mission in sharing the Word of God back there?
The work continues. It's amazing to see how God can, you know, God can use the Word to change lives.
Mm-hmm.
Because of, I would say, the influence of the internet and social media, the new generation is also questioning a lot. Even though it was just a generation or two ago that our people were given this message of God, the young people are now asking basically the same questions that a lot of people in the secular communities are asking. Mm-hmm. So being able to bring back the Word and allowing the Word to give meaning and purpose for people was really beautiful for me to see. Whenever I go back, not just to my home country and the area, but anywhere in the world and share the Word, mm-hmm. it gives me joy to see people's lives transform mm-hmm. through the Word and mm-hmm. finding new meaning and purpose for their lives.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I see your hand. I'll be with you just 1 minute. You know, it's amazing to me to see, if I'm hearing you correctly, that the cosmic conflict is there too.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That the enemy is constantly trying to, what did it say, the god of this world, what?
Blinded.
Blinded their eyes. It's this battle. Light, and the enemy comes in, but where there's light, darkness is dispelled, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why scripture is so important. Mm-hmm. Zaria.
And this reminds me of when Jesus told Simon that the devil is looking to sift you like wheat. But I have already prayed for you so that you will go back, so that you'll have faith, and then you will go back and strengthen your brethren. And for me, that's an important thing that shows throughout this entire controversy that, you know, the devil has tried to shake us. He has tried to get us off our feet. But, you know, with time, as God's word is set, is proven right always. And we are now using it to strengthen our brethren, and we're using it to spread the word, the three angels' message. And that's
Amen.
A big part that I'm seeing right now. And so God is good.
Amen. Thank you, Zaria. So that word to Simon Peter is also for us.
Yes.
Amen.
Nancy, the Lord says, "I've prayed for you that your faith would fail not. And afterward, you'll go back and strengthen the people in your circle, whether they're in Mizoram or in, I forget
Rockville,
where you're,
Maryland.
Colombia, right?
Colombia.
Originally, of course, you're now in America, but, you know, going back to your people and sharing with them. And your people, of course, are where you are.
Mm-hmm.
your circle of influence. So I want to close our study by talking about the testimony of the two witnesses today. It's not two people that are going to come up somewhere. Travis said, this is a lengthy period when the two witnesses wore sackcloth. They were killed. They came to life again. Mm-hmm. This scripture's testifying. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about that mission today. And I'd like to look at two verses with you. Revelation 14 and verse 6 and Matthew 24, verse 14. Haiti, could you read Matthew 24:14, and Travis, could you find Revelation 14 and verse 6? And let's talk about that the mission of the two witnesses isn't over. There's still more that needs to happen. Travis, could you start for us in Revelation 14 and verse 6?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people.
So the angel is bringing the gospel message. The angel is bringing the message of the
eternal
two witnesses, right? It's the eternal gospel. It's the message of the two witnesses. They testify about me. And Haiti, Matthew 24, verse 14. What does it tell us?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come."
So the mission of the two witnesses will be accomplished.
That's right.
Everyone will hear. And then just the short phrase from Jesus, then the end will come. But actually, let's go back to Revelation 11, because there it spells that out. And I'm going to ask you, Puya, if you'd read for us from Revelation 11, verses 15 to 18. Because right after this testimony of the two witnesses back to life, boldly proclaiming, and people who opposed are trembling. Let's see what happens next.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of the world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshipped God, saying, "We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reign. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth."
That expression, "the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ," does that remind you of a prophecy in the book of Daniel, John?
Daniel chapter 2, if I remember, where Nebuchadnezzar sees the statue, and then at the end of that, we see a stone, a supernatural stone that strikes the image and fills the whole earth, referring to the kingdom of God being established.
So that is going to happen. His kingdom will be fully established. The cosmic conflict will finally be over. In the last couple of minutes we have, I'd like someone else, thank you, Puya, for sharing about Mizoram. That's beautiful. Someone else share a time when you sense the Lord saying, "Sabina, I want you to join in the mission of the two witnesses. Share the truth of the Word of God and how that impacted you." Can you think of a time?
So just recently, I have been studying the Bible with a lady. I will not share her name, but she didn't grow up in a family where Christianity was part of her routine. You know, she actually, as we started studying the book, in Genesis, she not even knew what was the story of creation. So even though she's already in her 40s, her background is one of absolutely darkness in relation to the Bible. And the more we study the scriptures, the more she comes thirsty. So she continually come back to the lessons, having already read the material I give to her, and it seems like as if her complexion is brightening more and more. And she recently, she even asked me that she would like to be baptized still this year, that she is convicted of her desire. She wants to take a little more time to study because of her desire. And I just feel humbled to participate in the work of the Holy Spirit, because I know this is not by my might or power. It's really just how witnessing how God led her thus far, how she was attracted to connect with our church community and to me, and how I get to see her beaming out of just learning, you know, what is written in this book. Mm-hmm. And I praise God for that and for her decision to come
and,
to Jesus.
And Sabina's smiling while she's sharing this, yes, because it's really a miracle of God, isn't it?
It is.
Well, I see several hands raised. I see Zaria's hand raised, Travis's hand raised. There are more hands raised than I can see. Everybody's praising God. I'm going to give a short opportunity, Zaria, for you to share a time when you joined the Lord in His witness and how it impacted you.
A short, brief time was when I had lunch with a coworker of mine that was working at the job I was working at. And it was for a week. We had lunch. We were talking about the Bible, and he wanted to learn more about the church I went to. So I invited him, and then he ended up coming. And, you know, he took a break away from it afterwards. But when I had reached out to him to see how he was doing a couple of months ago, it was 2 months ago, he said, "It's a funny thing, you caught me on a day I was actually going back to church." Wow. So it's just, you know, amazing that you reached out to me on a day that I was going right back to a similar church that you attend. So God is good. And you
He
know,
is good, Zaria, and I wish we could hear the rest of the story. Man, we will, but right now we're out of time. But yeah. But what I learned from Zaria's testimony is it doesn't have to be a big project. What I learned from Sabina, it may be one person, or it may be a whole people group,
right,
that we can be part of the mission the two witnesses are given, yeah, to share the light of God's word, the mm-hmm. immeasurable, unfailing love of God, the way of salvation through faith in Him, mm-hmm. set people free.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
The light shining Amen. Through the darkness. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that the two witnesses are still alive, that the truth of God's word still is heard. May we be part of that bold proclamation of the Word of God as we prepare for the soon coming of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. You say, "Derek, we didn't have enough time." That's true. Maybe in your small group you can share how your life's been blessed as you've shared the truth of God from His Word with others. Go out, my friend. Be a blessing to those around you.